There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 913, November 22nd, 2021. Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say high sail at low sail for LCH. Who was that third man on podium? Machismo in Paradiso. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Toto promises LCH hot and spicy motor for Saudi Arabia. Horner beginning to lose his composure, according to the marshals. Fernando has been reborn and is ready to fight for the championship in 2022. And just a reminder, we need your contributions to keep this program on the servers. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab. You know you want to. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I am doing very good, sir. Thank you. How are things on the left coast?
The left coast is so pumped up watching LCH just scream down the racetrack, laughing and mocking. And of course, now with the penalties, the marshals, Massey, I mean, the FIA, they're being thrown under the bus. Remember what happened to Renault? Well, you know how Christian Horner can be a wonderful, loving guy with his family. But when it comes to motorsports, everybody gets thrown under the bus. So, holy Toledo. I don't know what's going on, but Fernando has been reborn. He's back on the podium. He was invigorated, and now he knows that the fight for the 2022 championship is alive. So, Nas, pretty exciting stuff, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely, sir. This championship is getting more and more intense, and you mentioned that Toto is going to give Lewis a spicy engine, which can only mean Max Verstappen's championship hopes are going totally hummus by at this stage. The engine, what happened is the engine they used in Brazil, that was not the engine that was used in Qatar. And that's what's really scary, because Saudi Arabian track features, it's being promoted as the fastest and longest street circuit, and has a straight that's longer than the Azerbaijan circuit. So things are looking very, very good for Silver Arrows. And I hope the good folks at Quaker State don't get too slick on me when I borrow their phrase and say, the big Q stands for quality, always has, always will. Remember those commercials?
The big Q stands for quality, always has, always will.
My favorite commercial, sir.
Yeah, they used to sponsor, I think, Brad Bodine in the green NASCAR Oldsmobile Buick. But going back to Qatar, the L Factor was able to polish off the challenge from Max Factor in bright and shining style. Two races ago, the championship was Max's to lose, which is what I've been saying all season long based on his performance. He had one hand on the trophy, but now there is some Vaseline, and it's slipping, slipping into the future. Toto has done some abracadabra, and now with two races to go, the wind and sands of time have shifted towards the Silver Arrows. LCH is licking the eight ball. Question I have for you now, Mr. Rogers, is this. Two races remaining, Max has to win one of them, and that's the only way he can be world champion. Do you see your favorite driver, Lewis Carl Hamilton, going four in a row? and saying to Max and Christian and yours, "Have good evening, gentlemen. What say you?"
I do. I mean, honestly, I cannot be the only one who knows that Mercedes always keeps power in reserve. So when you need it the most, it's there for the taking. Everybody is strung out to the limit, but Mercedes always, always saves power. There's always a little envelope that they save. And I'm telling you, they're smart. They're German. It's really simple. When you go to Mercedes' website, if you need some data or something, it's German. It's easy to navigate. The stuff is right there in front of you. You get what you want quickly. I've been to other websites, and it's not always that simple. But I have to admit, Red Bull's website is very, very good. I'm telling you that Toto has been building up for this. He's been keeping it all inside. To be honest with you, because he knows he's got the ace in his pocket. And LCH is on the best team on the grid. And there's a reason for that. And yes, it's called number 8. It's coming. And it's going to be delicious for him.
Well, you know, talking of the Mercedes, over the years, you know, I've had a lot of motorsports connection, dealings, wheeling, communications with a lot of German outfits, people at Mercedes, BMW, Audi, in other media people, professional photographers. And I'm going to tell you, it has always been a first-class professional experience. Very, very impressive. And that's just, it shows in their products and in their system. So good for them. And sir, you know, once upon a time, there was a Dutch group called Golden Earring, and they had a big international hit called Radar Love. One of your favorites, I'm assuming.
Absolutely. A great song while you're driving your car up in the mountains and you got Radar Love going. That's good living right there.
Yes. And one of the lines was, Brenda Lee's coming on strong. And what we have now is Lewis Hamilton and AMG Mercedes coming on strong to slay the red hot bull. Just when we thought regime change was around the corner, Cool Hand Lewis is saying, what we have here is a failure to give up. They say it takes two to tango, and that's what Senna and Prost did at Suzuka, not once but twice. Are we going to see an Arabian Night tango two times in the remaining two races? Now, I know you prefer Arabian belly dancing, but do you think these two youths might provide us some Arabian Night tango in one of the races?
No, because they continue to screw up. I mean, Max, if he was on the front row at Qatar, he would have had a chance, possibly. But no, they keep stumbling over each other. Boom! A penalty. 5 places. I mean, it was all set up perfectly. And now that we're going into the fastest track ever in Formula One, of course it's going to complement Mercedes. There's just no doubt. And of course, we know that all the bad karma goes to Bottas, which includes punctures, water bottle exploding, he forgot to bring a sandwich. Bottas gets all that so LCH could win world championships. So, I mean, I think the laughs for me is when Lewis wins that championship in Abu Dhabi. I just hope the camera turns to Christian Horner.
Oh, it's going to turn for sure. And you know, once upon a time, not too long ago, Nico Rosberg had a 40-plus point lead in 2016, which was slashed by LCH. And earlier this season, Max had a 30-plus point lead, and that has been slashed by the usual suspect. All season long, Max had the package, as we call it here, to deliver first championship in the port of Rotterdam for his peeps. Done blowed up in Baku and DNF at the Stone has now come back to bite him, though no fault of his. But that's life in the fast lane, sure to make you lose your mind and quite possibly your first championship. But I have to say, Mr. Rogers, both of these drivers are two of the greatest racing talents of all time, and the only sad thing about this championship is one of them will end up losing. And I'm thinking as we are talking here, Mr. Rogers, if Lewis wins in Saudi Arabia, Now, have you seen that track? Some guy on the web called it Monza on a street course. So I won't be surprised if they have some cautions and all that. But if Lewis wins and Max is second, then we're going into the final race with Max leading by a point or two. And then I think we'll see New Jersey on the waterfront style body slamming. What say you?
Well, I think you're absolutely right. The only thing is I believe that Max is sincere when he says it's not going to change his life if he wins or loses the championship. Max, he'll be a little frustrated, but he's not even going to care because he's a pretty casual guy. The people that are going to care are Dr. Marco and Christian Horner. They're going to start freaking out. And when they start freaking out, well, I mean, they don't break televisions like Montezemolo, but they do associate their freaking out with throwing things under the bus. So it's going to be interesting. But the biggest thing, and I think you said it earlier in the podcast a few months ago, that Max may never win a championship. And that's very, very possible. The greatest often have never won a world championship. And with the rules changing so drastically next year, I can see a team like Mercedes definitely still being competitive. Red Bull, we don't know. Honda pulling out, they're going to have Honda / Red Bull engines. We don't know how well that's going to work out. The ifs are so huge next year that I feel bad for Max, but in the end, Max, you need to get in the Mercedes or you might not ever get a championship. So that's just the way it is. Life is hard, but in the end, you'll still get your licorice and you still have your papa.
No, I agree with you. His life will not change, which is a good attitude. He loves racing. The kid has been racing from pretty much since he was born. So I can buy that. But I think, you know, the two gentlemen you mentioned, Dr. Marco and Christian Horner, will freak out. They already are. And another guy who's going to be totally PO is Jos, the boss. Some, you know, chatter on the web, quoting these people that the Mercedes car is illegal, the wing is illegal, and they're going to look for any excuse. Maybe, you know, where there is smoke, there is fire. But Max is going to find out what each and every teammate of Lewis Hamilton has found out. It is not easy to beat this guy. And that's really the difference, you know. I mean, if this car was driven by Heikki Kovalainen and Valtteri Bottas at Mercedes, championship would have been celebrated by Max in Monza or somewhere. So, you know, as Toto said, best driver gets the best car. And by the way, the voodoo math for LCH is now 102 times 2. 102 pole positions and same number of Grand Prix wins. And that is just an incredible achievement, even if you had the best car every race of your life, which is definitely not the case here. Damon Hill once said, even if you have the best car, you still have to go out and do the business. Losail was smooth sailing and he was never challenged for the lead. Mercedes has the momentum. Two to go. One new track and one usual Tilkedrome, where they say it will suit the Silver Arrows. So we will see. Now, there was a lot of talk that the Saudi Arabian track will not be ready for the race, but I think it will be. So on sandpaper, no pun intended, another advantage Mercedes. We still have 52 points on the table, and we can only guess who's coming to dinner with the royal family after the season finale in Abu Dhabi. And of course, his wingman, Bottas, was bogged down first through grid penalty and then flaming on lap 33, not from his performance, but from his puncture. And you know, he was recently on Tom Clarkson's podcast, and he asked him that his time at Mercedes, if he could do it all over again, what would he change? And he said that, and this happened with Pierre Gasly also. He said he would calm down, take it easy, and not try to force the issue. And of course, forcing the issue was trying to beat his teammate. And that's where I think You know, it's very easy for me to say these things, but I think this is where Pierre Gasly went wrong, where instead of focusing on settling in with the team and improve his time step by step, he tried to take the fight to Max Verstappen right from the start. And as Dr. Marco said, that his comment was, Pierre Gasly was trying to reinvent the car. So, it's not easy beating. I mean, just look at every teammate of Max. They have been dispatched after one inning, if I may use a phrase from different sports. So this is these are two incredible talents. It will be very, very, if Lewis wins, it's an incredible eight championship. Who would have thought? You know, like I've said many times on this podcast, even when he got his 81st Grand Prix win, which was 10 less than Michael, I was still not convinced he'll get 91, because as your hombre will tell you, no matter how good you are, if you don't have the right car, you ain't going nowhere. And of course, if Max wins, is this going to be like Nando winning in 2005, bringing an end to a runaway freight train? So both of these achievements, whichever happens, are going to be incredible. And then if Lewis loses, he will have new motivation to get number 8. And next season, who knows what will happen. Now, Max, he was demoted 5 grid places for yellow flag issue. Any comment on that, sir?
I mean, he doesn't see the flag. There is no flag. The FIA apologized because it was an odd situation, but because it was still a breach of the regulations, they have to impose a penalty, apparently. They can't say, oh, we'll skip it. But, yeah, I mean, and this is going to... I feel bad for the FIA sometimes when a penalty is going to... We don't want penalties to decide the championship. So I like what Toto's doing, giving him a fast car, giving him everything he needs to win so he could take it to the max. And that's what's going to happen. I mean, it's not how you start, it's how you finish, folks. And Toto has saved enough reserve. Mercedes, these people are really intelligent. Don't get me wrong. Adrian Newey's a good guy, great designer, but sometimes a little fragile. So what I worry about is Max Verstappen, being a great driver, never getting the package that Lewis has gotten. That's just the way it is. We call that life. Sometimes it's just not fair.
Yeah, you know, Mercedes has... very great depth in engineering. They've been involved in motorsports for over a century. I'm sure their Teutonic pride is right there where they want to win and win. So, you know, good for them. And of course, the man behind the wheel is delivering too. But as far as the penalties are concerned, I would hate to see the championship decided on that. But one thing I will say, once they set the penalties or rules and regulations, they have to be the same, not this pick and choose that we see a lot of times. And in the case of Max, Christian Horner can huff and puff, the yellow lights were not on, but you can clearly see a guy waving the checkered flag. And Christian Horner called him a rogue flagman who was only doing his job, and the FIA came on hard on him and warned him, don't be a Tsunoda of team management. And Christian Horner did apologize, singing our favorite,
I'm sorry, so sorry.
But this is what happens, you know, when you are under pressure, you're going to say things that you will regret. But, you know, we're not going to judge Christian Horner and Red Bull team just on one issue. But we want to have a fantastic end to the season. Now, Max, he did pick up 3 places on the opening lap, which was no surprise, and then he was second after only 5 laps. And gap to LCH was 4 seconds, and LCH was asking his team earlier in the race, where is car 77? And by the end of lap 10 or 57, gap was 5 seconds, and this was the first indication who the winner of the race will be, because, you know, earlier Max reduced the gap to Lewis, and then it stabilized and LCH started pulling away. And then I said, okay, dishes are done for Max here. Did you have any inclination that Max, something may happen and he may win the race?
No, none whatsoever. I mean, the punctures that were peppered through the field was a problem, especially the left front was a problem, or was it the right front? I can't remember. But the only person I was worried about, really, tire-wise, was Fernando, el machismo hombre de España. But he kicked ass, too, so impressive. I enjoyed Fernando's podium. Obviously, I'm a Fernando guy, and for me, that's what I'm taking away from Qatar, or Qatar, or whatever you want to call it. We'll see what kind of helmet LCH wears in Saudi Arabia, because their human rights record is probably worse than Qatar. So, anyway, it's been a great season, you have to admit. Exciting.
Yeah, and the only thing I thought that may help Max was some clever pit strategy from Red Bull, and they've been pretty bold at times. But that idea was thrown out the window after Bono brought LCH into the pits, just after Max made his first pit stop. And so something has to happen for Max now to get the upper hand. Otherwise, it's Lewis Hamilton, yo-yo, what's up, in Yas Marina, and who can blame him, you know. And the Mercedes abattoir is now operating 24/7 to slaughter the Red Bulls in the remaining two races. And of course, I would like to see a split screen as they take the checkered flag in Abu Dhabi. Toto Wolff, and these people have gotten pretty, you know, intense in the press conference. Christian Horner made a comment that, well, it's not like I'll go to dinner with Toto. So that's not very good. And what has really surprised me is that Red Bull, and of course Dr. Marco, are Austrian people, and so is Toto Wolff, and so was Niki Lauda, but there was no love lost between them. But that's the way it goes. Okay, let's talk about the most important man and the most interesting man in this world without even drinking Dos Equis?
That's Mexican beer.
Yes. Machismo from Oviedo. Like the song, Kiss Me Once, Kiss Me Twice. It's been a long, long time. The Q race was very cute for Nando as he got a sweet kiss of success in the form of his first podium since Hungary 2014. And when it was mentioned on the broadcast, the telecast, that Hungary has been an important place for him, and I'm like, oh, no kidding, because this is the place where he scored his first Grand Prix victory, also the place where he helped his teammate Esteban Ocon to win his first Grand Prix this season. And there is more to his Hungarian rhapsody, but we will skip that 45 for now, for the health and wellness of the host. The magic of Machismo getting on the podium was doing only one stop. His message to team was impressive, asking the team to tell Ocon to defend against Perez like a lion. Nando was so happy, he even dropped the F-bomb in the post-race interview with Jenson Button. And if anybody has read Jenson Button's book, that work is frequently used because boys will be boys. And while Lewis was celebrating his 102nd Grand Prix victory, Nando was celebrating his 98th podium. And that's what happens when bodies start slamming from doing the wild thing. What say you, Mr. Rogers?
It was a great podium. I was very, very happy for him. And it was a great drive, saving the tires. Doing that race on a one-stop was not very easily done, especially when you started seeing our wonderful Pirellis exploding left and right. So I'm sure Michelin sales went through the roof in Qatar after that Grand Prix. But hey, keep up the good work, Nando. We love you here at F1Weekly.com. And it was refreshing to see him on the podium.
Well, it will be justice for motorsports if he can win a championship. I just cannot see that championship happening with Alpine Renault, or, you know, 3 years down the road, they may want to call it Dacia, but he has to go somewhere. And the only place he can go now is Mercedes once Lewis is gone from there. But I don't think that won't be happening. Sergio Perez, Checo, had a spirited race and finished fourth. This greatly helped Red Bull close the gap in Constructors' Championship to Mercedes, and of course, Bottas will have to get going here. Toto Wolff, I feel sorry for him, you know. He encourages Lewis, and Lewis most of the time delivers, not 100%, but Bottas, same thing cannot be said for him. Mr. Ocon, Monsieur Ocon, the one-hit wonder from Budapest, was fifth, helping Alpine in their fight with AlphaTauri. Both their drivers failed to score despite starting in the top 10. And this was actually a payback by Ocon to Nando, because, you know, if that virtual safety car or whatever the late race situation was had not happened, Checo may have passed Nando. But it did not happen, so we're happy to see him on the podium. Now, Daddy's My Boy Lollipop, also known as Lance Stroll, was sixth in Daddy's Aston Martin. That was a pretty impressive performance, I have to say. Scuderia Ferrari had both red cars in 7th and 8th, Carlito ahead of Leclerc. And for me, sir, Carlos Sainz is the really big surprise of the season. He has really adapted very well at the new team, which looked like a team built around Charles Leclerc. And just goes to show, you know, if you do not make waves and rattle cages, you can still get ahead of the teammate. Lando Norris was ninth. His McLaren teammate Ricciardo was like a NASCAR phantom caution, nowhere to be seen. One is the loneliest number, and that's what you get for 10th place. And that man was Sebastian Vettel. Well, you know, I think it was in qualifying, both Seb and Nando made it to Q3. And I'm like, these are two guys off the shelf, still trying to make it happen. But I think the problem is they just don't have the right car. I'm very confident that both of them can win a lot of races if they were driving the Red Bull or especially the Mercedes. Red Bull is definitely, Max is making a huge, huge difference. I think he's bringing more than 6 tenths to that team. 6 tenths is basically his gap to most of his teammates. So that tremendous talent. We're happy to see this in our lifetime.
Yes, Max is a tremendous talent. But, you know, what I'm worried about is what is going to happen. And I mean, he could be a lifer at Red Bull, I suppose, because I don't see Max's style blending in well with Toto.
Talking of his style with Toto, Jos Verstappen was recently quoted. Jos was very pissed off at Mercedes and Toto for the celebration they did after Lewis won the British Grand Prix, and, you know, Max was in the hospital, and he was quoted as saying that since then he has not spoken to Toto. But let me just tell you, man, if Fernando Alonso can go back to Ron Dennis and McLaren, Max can be Toto's number one life child a few years down the road. It won't happen as long as Lewis is racing, and Lewis has signed up for 2 more years anyway, right?
Right.
So it may happen after that, but, you know, somebody may turn the table on Mercedes in the next few years. It will be very nice if Audi and Porsche come in with a good team like a McLaren or whatever, and then rattle everybody's cage.
I just don't see that happening. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk, but talk is cheap. I don't see Audi or Porsche coming in. I honestly don't. I mean, I know there's a lot of chit-chat about it, but I don't know.
With the budget cut and dropping of this MGUH component, which apparently was too much technology and expensive to develop, I think one of them will show up. Porsche has history in Formula One. Audi's history go back almost a decade in motorsports, winning. And I don't think these people at Volkswagen Group are interested in seeing another German team take all the glory. So they would like to spoil the party. What I would really like to see is the company that provided the first turbocharged world champion come back, and that's BMW, also known as BMW. I would love to see them come back.
I would too, but right now, the world is a different place. I mean, Germany, companies like Volkswagen are worried about Tesla, who's in their backyard producing cars now and selling cars. So, yeah, these car companies don't fess up to a lot of situations, and they like to talk motorsports because it makes them look wonderful and beautiful. But in the end, things are changing dramatically in the automotive industry. And I'm telling you, that's taking everybody's little love nest and spoiling it.
Well, that was part of the reason Honda gave for pulling out of Formula One, so they can put resources into electric cars. You know, one company that has not been very big in electric is Toyota, because even though they are doing some electric cars now, their main focus was on hybrid, and I know they're also pushing the hydrogen-powered cars and all that. But, you know, the future of everyday driving is electric. As you already know, several European companies will ban anything and everything that's not electric cars in a few years. But, you know, there has to be some room for motorsports. And the other day I was thinking, Mr. Rogers, time changes, society changes, circumstances changes. We may just have to suck it up, and if we are around, watch a Formula One race powered by a electric motor. You know, we may not have a choice.
I'll have a choice. It's called Le NASCAR.
Yes. NASCAR may go electric also.
Apparently.
Any other thoughts on the Qatar Grand Prix? How did you like the track, sir?
I thought the track was interesting. For me, you know, I know the drivers loved it, but it looked a little Mickey Mouse from a bird's eye view.
You know what really impressed me about the track? I mean, I'm very familiar with the track because I've been watching MotoGP races there for many years. But I remember the first time the Malaysian Grand Prix took place and there was an aerial shot. I could not believe how wide that track was. And this track is even wider than, looks like wider than the Sepang track. So, and they were saying overtaking will not be possible or will be hard. But there were many opportunities for overtaking there. I enjoyed, I mean, this track as is better than Bahrain and China and some other places. But you know what? There is a beauty of a natural flowing track like the Turkish track, and having been to Sepang, that's a beautiful, beautiful racing track. So we can still have some good tracks. And I noticed that Herman Tilke's son also works for his papa in track management and designing, Tilke and Associates.
Well, that's good. Young blood is always good.
We can do that, sir. Max 351.5, Hamilton 343.5. Bottas is third, 203. Perez, fourth, 190. Norris, fifth, 153. Now, this is getting spicy between Mercedes and the Constructors' Championship. Mercedes is leading 546.5, and 5 points behind is Red Bull. And Ferrari has pulled ahead of McLaren and is third. Now, sir, Constructors, Mercedes or Red Bull?
It's going to be Mercedes for sure.
Well, Red Bull has a very good chance of at least taking the Constructors' Championship.
Nobody cares about the Constructors' Championship.
That's where the money is decided, Mr. Rogers. And we know, cash is king.
That's why Mercedes is going to win.
Shall we take a break now?
Yes. I'm Swaff, you're Swaff. So let's get the Perrier bottles out, and we'll be back after this brief message.
Okay, I'm here at the Autosport Show with Paul Di Resta. Paul Di Resta, how are you today, sir? And what do you like at the show?
Yeah, I mean, hello, first of all, I say hello to you. This is a fantastic show. It's great to come and be part of. You know, you have to give the fans some respect, you know, because they're reading about us all year. And, you know, it's great to come and see some new faces, bump into some people to kick off the new year, and just see what's happening in the motorsport industry, because this is the first big event, race, if you want to call it. It's a whole series of different things it can lead to.
I recently heard that Anthony Hamilton manages you, and we keep hearing your name linked with Formula One. Can you give us a little scoop, please?
Yeah, Anthony is, managing and helping me with my career. You know, I've known Anthony since I was 8 years old. Along with Lewis, I've raced against him, and it seemed the right person. And I'm part of the Mercedes McLaren group, and you know, we're trying to be productive and go forward in that. And who knows what the future may bring with that.
You mentioned Lewis. There's a school of thought. You know, when you're winning, you have people who love you, who don't love you. They say that he's a lucky punk, got into the right car and this and that. You've raced him against him and known him for a long time. How would you rate him as a race car driver?
For sure, you know, at the end of the day, you have to give Lewis the utmost respect, and you know, he's sure he's had opportunities that some people haven't had, but he's taken them and grabbed them with full force and done exactly what he needed to do in that seat. You know, I've raced Lewis, I've beat him on occasions, you know, he's beat me on occasions, and you know, we had so many hard fought battles, and you know, but at the end of the day, Lewis is delivering. He's doing a good job in Formula One, showing what the younger generation can do. And, you know, hopefully I can get into Formula One, you know, and be part of that younger generation and, you know, be part of that racing elite group.
You're from the land of Jim Clark and Jackie Stewart. How old were you when you got interested in motor racing?
Since I could really remember, since I could walk, talk, whatever. You know, my dad's been involved in motorsport now for 35 years. And when I was growing up, it's just been part of that, and it wasn't really a case of, you know, do you want to race? It was, when, you know, when are we going to start, you know, as quick as possible, and it's just something that's came natural, and I believe that's the best way it can be.
Your cousin Dario Franchitti races in the US. Any interest in going to any of the US series, or what does he say about the US racing scene?
No, for sure, it's a fantastic, you know, the US is a fantastic place for motorsport, you know, I don't have to tell you that, and Dario has been over there now for over 10 years, got a fabulous lifestyle, great people to be involved in, and racing in a great series, and you know, who knows, you know, maybe one day I could end up in the US, and you know, you would just have to wait and see how my career plans out. Each person is individual, and we keep in very close contact. I try to get out there as much as possible. It's a bit difficult with my commitments during the year, but you know, any chance I can get, I will try and attend.
Any racing driver is very busy during the season. Do you get a chance to follow some of the American series when your season is on?
Yeah, I mean, for sure I follow IRL, not only, you know, for the racing, but for my cousin. You know, I follow, it's a great championship. It's one of the top ends of motorsport for sure. It's like Formula One in the US, and you know, I also have to follow it closely because my cousin, you know, we're not really cousins, we're like big brothers, and I'm sure he will say exactly the same. We speak on quite a day-to-day basis, and it's good to keep a close eye on what's happening in the motorsport industry.
DTM series, how much have you enjoyed that, and what was the high moment or some disappointments from season past 2008?
I think it's best to keep the disappointments out of it. You know, we just look on to the great moments, and you know, sure, pole positions, wins, you know, coming very close to the championship. But you know, I can't really say how good the DTM championship. It's just a great weekend for people to go and see. It's very cheap, worth the money. The fans can get very close to us. We have to give the fans a lot of attention, because without them, we wouldn't be where we are. And it's just a great championship run by great people, and leads to great things.
What was your opinion of Ralf Schumacher as a person? You know, a lot of people think he's kind of cocky and all that. How did you find him as a person in driver's meeting, or if you got to know him a little bit?
I know Ralf quite well. You know, I wouldn't say I'm best friends with Ralf. I haven't quite got to know him too well. But, you know, he seems a great guy. He's done a lot in Formula One. He's a big name. And he certainly grabs the attention of the crowds. And, you know, I don't have to tell you, Ralph's a good talent. You know, he's proved what he can do. And he's taking part. I think he's enjoyed the season. And I'm sure he's looking forward to driving more DTM if that's what he wants to do.
And what is your plan, immediate plan for the 2009 season apart from DTM?
Nothing has been decided if it's going to be DTM. All I can really say is I'm part of a Mercedes-McLaren group. And, you know, it's up to us to come together and see what our racing career and 09 will bring for that.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, since it's been a light schedule, we're going to continue with Qatar. The excitement and, of course, the only thing that everybody's talking about. And that's Fernando on the podium.
Oh, yes. He was voted driver of the day, right?
Exactly. So there's a reason for all this. It's El Machismo. Not only that, but he stayed up in the top five for a long, long time, saving those tires. I thought it was a great drive. And not only that, but telling his team to tell Ocon to fight like a lion, defend like a lion. I thought that was machismo in itself.
You know what? Max called Ocon when they had the schmazzle in Sao Paulo.
What?
You know what Max called Ocon when they had the schmazzle in Sao Paulo?
That's not right.
That's Max, you know, what do you expect? Okay, sir, moving on. We have a case of going, gone from Grand Prix racing, Signor Giovinazzi. After 3 years in Formula One, courtesy of Ferrari, the Italian Jesus has been released from the Swiss team and is now headed to Formula E with Jay Penske's team. And yes, Jay Penske is the bambino of Roger Penske. Now, Antonio, he made a comment that when cash is involved, racing is ruthless, can be ruthless because of that. And then his team boss, Mr. Frederick Vasseur, did not take that in kindly, and you know, very rightly so. I mean, he got there not by winning GP2 or Formula 2 in his first season, but courtesy of Ferrari. And he had 3 years. I mean, he should have blown away Kimi Raikkonen first year to make a case, but he did not do that. And you know, Antonio did finish second in his rookie season in Formula 2 behind Gasly, and then made his Grand Prix debut in Australia in 2017. And he did all his 60-plus races with Sauber. I was reading about him. I did not verify this, but he had spent like quite a few years before he got into Formula 2, which should have given him enough experience to go and win it first time. And if you are, if you can't even beat Pierre Gasly, and I must say Pierre Gasly was in his second year when he won the F2 championship, then people are not going to take you seriously for a top team. It's all about performance, you know. Okay, new man in town replacing Giovinazzi is Guan Yu Zhu. He will become the first Chinese driver in Formula 1 next season. Again, this is a case, you know, this guy has won races in Formula 2, but he has spent a few years in Formula 3, and this is his third season in Formula 2. And that is really not the profile of a Formula 1 driver. But, you know, times have changed, and strange things are happening. What is really sad is this Australian kid who won like Formula Renault, Formula 3 in his rookie season, and in his rookie season is now leading the Formula 2 championship. He really should have gotten into Formula 1. Well, he did, but he will be the reserve driver of Alpine, and he's part of the Alpine program because he was in Formula Renault a few years ago, and he's managed by Mark Webber. So maybe Mark can grill him a good Formula 1 seat in the near future. But, you know, as I've always said, the biggest threat, if you don't really make it happen in your first year in GP2 or first year in Formula 3, is, who knows, some kid who might be in karting today or coming into single-seater next year from some South America or Bhutan or whatever, and if they can rattle the cage of everybody, then in Formula 1, people can have very short memories. Just ask Nick Heidfeld. And there are some other... you know what Elio De Angelis said about Peter Waugh, who was the manager? Because he was already at Lotus when Senna came on board. And his comment was that as soon as Ayrton Senna joined Lotus, Peter Waugh started dancing around him. And, you know, who can blame him? So, Mr. Roger... Oh, by the way, I would like to invite the F1 Weekly Familia to please tune in to F1 Weekly next week. We don't have a Formula One race, but we have a segment called the Stevie Ray Vaughan segment, Cold Shot. And Cold Shot will be delivering some hot zingers of the day. It should be fun.
It sounds like fun, Nass. I'm looking forward to that. That'll be podcast 914. So, outstanding job, Nass. Of course, it's all winding down, isn't it? As Lewis is going faster and faster, the frustration in Christian Horner, it's just such good entertainment. I love every minute of this high-pressure system.
You know, there are many nonstop flights available from JFK, and I believe even from Dallas to Abu Dhabi, because, you know, Etihad Airlines is from Abu Dhabi, and Dubai is only, you know, an hour or so from there. I am so tempted to just take a couple of days off and go and... but the problem is, you know, no media pass. I just don't want to be a spectator there. And it's a little too late right now. I hear that COVID cases are surging in Europe, in some countries, and that's not very good, man. I need to go and... I would like to be at Dijon Prenois in January, Mr. Rogers. I just hope this silliness of coronavirus goes away soon.
Well, if we could get everybody to get vaccinated and stop listening to your godmother, get vaccinated, guys. You're killing us, literally. So that's my tip of the day. Get vaccinated, go to a Grand Prix, and have a good time in life.
There you go. And so your call for Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia Grand Prix is LCH?
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's going to have such a fast car. They're giving him everything. There'll be a kitchen sink in that car. It'll go fast. It's going to be awesome. Max will be jealous and crying in his Heineken.
Yeah, well, we don't know what's going to happen. We just have to watch it and see. But barring any visit to the DNF chapel, and I don't think they have chapels in Saudi Arabia anyway, so it's going to help Lewis very much. So it's going to come down to Abdab, Abu Dhabi, Yas Marina.
Absolutely. Lewis Hamilton will take his 8th championship, and Max will say, I'll be back next year. We've heard this before.
Yes. Man, if Lewis wins, the media demands on him are just going to be absolutely unbelievable. You know, a couple of years ago in 2019, I asked this gentleman, Felix, who's the head of communications for Mercedes F1 team. I told him, I says, man, if you give me 30-day notice and 10-minute time, I'll fly anywhere to interview Lewis Hamilton. And I asked him, is that possible? And I expected a very polite and a very swift no. And he started thinking. He said, let me think about it. And I'm like, wow. And then he said, send me an email in March, which I did. Then I got the usual, thanks, but no thanks. Danke, aber keine Danke. But, you know, I understand. It's not a problem. But it's like, you know, Rossi retired. Pretty soon, Lewis Hamilton. Sooner or later, he will retire. So one day, hopefully, we will. Another thing I really want to do, Mr. Rogers, is come to California and set up an appointment with Mr. Jenson Button, because he is now living in Santa Barbara area. What I'm thinking of doing is maybe catching up with him at one of the F1 races and then set up an appointment with him to come to Santa Barbara and then go there and do an interview with him and treat him to some quesadilla.
That's a good idea, Nasser. He could tell you all about his winning championship 2009 season, about Braun, and about Rubinho.
Yes.
So keep up the good work.
Yes, sir. Thank you. And you enjoy your 1 week off of motor racing. But we will convene next Monday anyway.
Absolutely. So I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and all that good stuff.
And all that good stuffing. Yeah.
Exactly. 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 So, Nas, keep up the good work. Thanks for all you do. I want to once again tell everybody happy holidays. Enjoy your turkey. And we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
almost speed, I'm almost there. Gotta keep cool now, gotta take care. Last car to pass, here I go. And the line of cars drove down real slow. And the radio played that forgotten song.